Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Emil DeCou.
Who's going to be conducting the National Symphony Orchestra out at Wolf Trap on Saturday, July 21st with Jaws. Now, Emil, man, I am so glad that you keep doing this. It's one of my favorite traditions every summer at Wolf Trap. What did we do last year? Was it La La Land and Jurassic Park, I think?
Yeah, Jurassic Park and La La Land have had huge crowds for both of them. I think they both sold out, which is really hard to get at any concert venue. But these films have become their own industry in the past 10, 15 years with live orchestra, huge screens. And it just really resonates with people, which is terrific.
Talk about why you think people come out to these like they do. And when I was there, it just struck me when I'm there for Jurassic Park, let's say. It was all these people that had either grown up with it or remember when it came out. And then they were getting to bring their kids and grandkids. And, explain why you think that people turn out for these things.
Well, I think these movies over time become more than just movies. They become part of our lives. They become part of our sort of collective storytelling, modern day folktales or fables. And something like Raiders or Jaws, which is an old movie now. Certainly Jurassic Park, you remember when you saw it when you were a kid or a teenager, and it stays with you. And you come back and you see the same movie, but you see it kind of differently because you've grown up, but you still hold these stories, as part of your childhood. And of course, the key of it for me is the music. And you have great music by John Williams for Jurassic Park and for Jaws and E.T. and Raiders. And it just makes the movie come alive in a way that you really can't experience even in the best movie theater, or certainly not on your iPhone or laptop, is because you get to hear a 100-piece orchestra play in a surround sound kind of space. It's like hearing music in 3D, which I guess is what you're doing. And so you experience the music that only the composer in his head could experience up until that point.
It's awesome. Well, explain why this one in particular, Jaws, is the perfect summer movie. I mean, it pretty much invented the summer blockbuster and launched Steven Spielberg's career. It's so iconic. I mean, you'll still hear kids at the beach humming that tune out in the water trying to scare each other. So, explain why, of all the ones you get to do, why this John Williams score in particular is so much fun.
Well, this is the first one. I mean, it was his first great score. It was Spielberg's first great movie, and it also was the beginning, like you said, of the summer blockbuster, which we take for granted now because that's what happened after Jaws, because it was the biggest grossing film in film history up until Star Wars a few years later. But this was the model for summer blockbusters, and they invented it, and it's still, I think, the best. And it just scared generations of kids and adults out of the water, kind of the way Psycho scared generations of people from taking a shower. But you can't go into the water in a hot summer day in New England without hearing those two notes, this minimalist score. And the great thing about this score, too, is that not just inventing the summer blockbuster as a format for modern day films, is John Williams invented the first minimalist film score. And actually, when he played that famous Jaws theme that everybody knows to Spielberg, Spielberg started laughing. He thought it was a joke. And he's like, no, it's serious. This is the theme, this claustrophobic. You know, if you're sitting in a piano, it's the two closest notes together, beady, da 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 da. And it becomes so closed in on itself and so claustrophobic and almost like not just anticipation, but almost like the heartbeat of the audience is the theme as well. But you hear this over and over, slowly and then fast. And it is one of the most creative and inventive things any composer has ever come up with, because Beethoven is famous for four notes, bum, 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 bum. John Williams topped him by two. He's famous for running first thing with just two notes, which is nearly impossible.
Exactly. And explain how that score alone almost saved Spielberg's butt in terms of, everyone knows the story about how the mechanical shark wasn't working. And so instead of, being scared by what we do see, we're scared by what we don't see in these POV shots underwater, along with John Williams' score. Explain how that score, almost more than any other movie, it almost stands in for the beast in this movie.
It does. It does. And it kind of goes back. Hitchcock does it a lot. The suspense, if you think of Alien, when you really don't see the alien for a very long time, makes it much, much scarier. Mm-hmm. But the film went over budget by quite a bit. Spielberg was not a famous director at that time. Neither was John Williams, a famous composer. So there was a big risk. You look at it back now, it's not that big a budget, $9-10 million. But still, it was going way over budget. And they had the shark, which is the key of the movie, that wasn't working. And so they substituted just the suspense, maybe a fin or maybe just a ripple of a wave. But the music filled in for the fact that you couldn't have this mechanical shark. And it made it much, much more scarier.
Now, in addition to that iconic terrifying Two Nights score that we all know and love and can hum by memory. Take me into some of the other either challenging or really satisfying portions that you get to conduct there up on stage. How about the theme when they're out? There's some really upbeat stuff, almost Moby Dick adventurous stuff when they're out there with the yellow barrels and stuff. Talk about that part.
Yeah, and you have, I think what's great about this, because this is a very scary film. I remember when I saw it the first time when I was a kid, it was absolutely terrifying. Mm-hmm. And so to break up that intensity, you get these lighter moments that sound kind of like swashbuckling pirate movie music. And when they're out sea, when they first launch out to go to sea, and it's a beautiful day, the ship isn't messed up, and you get this fun, upbeat kind of hornpipe music like you would sing, you know, out on a ship in 1700 or something. And so he mixes that going between this very upbeat, very beautiful, joyful seafaring music and then that incredibly claustrophobic underwater shark theme. But also what's really interesting, too, in these early films up until maybe 10 years ago, is his use of silence. And you'll have maybe 8 minutes at a time where there's no music at all, which producers would never allow today. I was talking with Michael Giacchino about Jurassic World, which we premiered last month at the Kennedy Center. And having just silence is a very rare thing nowadays. But you listen to, Jurassic Park, the famous T-Rex scene, the 7 minutes of no underscoring. Jaws, you'll have likewise 5, 6, 7 minutes worth of music. When you're watching a film, the play between music and silence is very important. And there's nothing more suspenseful or awkward possibly in a film is when you have no music at all. And so using that canvas of silence and then you bring in the shark theme after 5 minutes is really, it heightens the moment and heightens the terror of it all. So I think it's very clever, not just the music, but when he chooses not to use music.
Absolutely. And talk about for our listeners, maybe who've never been to one of these things, what exactly do they see? You know, they're sitting there at Wolf Trap, which is awesome, rustic. You know, it feels like you're in a national park, because we are. Right. And just explain exactly what they're going to see when they look up on stage in terms of the screen and the orchestra under.
Well, if you've never been to Wolf Trap before, it is the most beautiful outdoor venue in America. It's a huge national park for the performing arts. The orchestra is in a huge wooden theater. And if you sit on the lawn, which is on a hillside, you can look into the theater. But for these film concerts, we have a huge screen above the orchestra. We have a 100-piece orchestra on stage. A screen, I don't know how many times larger than the biggest IMAX screen you could ever imagine, is absolutely huge. And then we have 2 screens out on the lawn for people to sit on the lawn. The lawn accommodates about 4,000 people. So if it's a beautiful night, you want to come and picnic and food and wine, beer, whatever you want to bring, makes it that much more fun inside. The amphitheater seats 3,000 people, and they're fixed seats, very comfortable. And so this depends what kind of experience you want to have. But this is the only way, in my mind, to experience a film these days, because you get to see this huge screen. And even, like, I fly a lot. I'm watching movies on something that's, like, 6 inches, you know, by 4 inches. It's really quite small. But to experience this film the way it was really meant to be and to hear this great orchestra, the National Symphony Orchestra, playing this film score live and being able to hear it with absolute clarity, not being obscured by screaming or special effects or sound effects or talking, just the music there. The movie's played the way it's supposed to be played. You'll hear all the dialogue and everything above, but you'll hear this glorious score equally with the film.
Absolutely. And talk about how, as a conductor, it's a bit of a challenge. I think in the past you guys have said it's almost like playing Guitar Hero, where you got to hit all the different beats.
It's actually, for me, it's terrifying because you have to line up the score within a millisecond of where the music should be, because what they did is they took, of course, the orchestra soundtrack off of the film, and we're supplying that live. And I'm looking at a bunch of different information, digital readouts and numbers and colors going by and flashes on the screen, on my screen. And I just had that and conducting my baton to hold the orchestra together, because they can't see the film and they can't really hear what's happening on screen. They're just watching me. So I spent a lot of time here where I'm in right now, San Francisco, in my office, just going through this film over and over and over and over again. And it takes probably 4 times the amount of time to learn Jaws than it would to learn a Beethoven symphony.
Wow. Why do you think that is?
It's not just the music. The music exactly should be within a millisecond. So you really have the heightened drama of the music being exactly where it should be, because the music is the hidden character. Maybe another reason is Beethoven symphonies need more sharks. That could be.
I think that, let's start a petition for that.
Okay.
Awesome. Fins to the left and the right. Let's. Are you guys doing any pre-show talks? Those are always fun.
Yes, there's a pre-show talk with, I think, some shark experts from the Smithsonian, possibly, before the show, right by Ovations. I think an hour before the performance. So we'll be there a good hour before, and it's a good chance to kind of hear some scientists talk about sharks in fact and fiction.
Awesome. Yeah, so everyone get there early. I've done those in the past, and those pre-show talks really help set the mood and give you little insights into, you know, not only the movie, but also, in this case, sharks, or if it's Jurassic Park, dinosaurs, and even a little insight into what you're going to do out there as a conductor in the music. So everyone get out there early. But Emil, just sort of in closing, why should our listeners come out?
Oh, because you're going to have the best time ever. This is such a great film. And when you know, think about it, when was the last time you sat down and watched Jaws from beginning to end in a movie theater? I mean, probably not for a very long time, if ever, because probably a lot of people saw these films on TV first and then maybe, you know, on your home device. But I mean, to see it the way it was really meant to be seen, even larger, this is truly a great American classic film. And it's the first of its kind, and it put these two geniuses on the map who have changed American cultural history.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of geniuses that changed American history, Emil DeCoux on on WTOP. Again, everybody, it's Jaws live with the NSO playing at Wolf Trap on Saturday, July 21st. Thanks, Emil.
Okay, thanks a lot. Take care.